You're listening to
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
Sex Gets Real.
With Dawn Sarah.
With Dawn Sarah.
Thanks.
Bye.
Hi, you. Welcome to a new episode of Sex Gets Real. It is the weekend of both Canada Day and July 4th in the States. So lots of celebrations happening. Of course, I made it a point to post about on Facebook that all of this comes with celebrating colonialism and the horrible ways that we've treated Indigenous and First Nations people. So trying to keep that in mind as I celebrate my very first Canada Day, where I had my first rotato, which is a spiralized potato that's deep fried on a stick. And it was amazing. So that was awesome and delicious and greasy. But I am super excited about this week's episode. I first saw Amarna Miller when I was enjoying some Erica Lust ex-confessions videos. Amarna is in many of Erica's videos, and something about her energy just absolutely captivated me. And then I saw a video that she did on her YouTube channel all about ethical porn. And I knew immediately I wanted to have her on the show. And so we've been going back and forth, and finally it happened. So you are about to hear me chatting with Amarna. She's originally from Spain, and so she does amazing speaking English and trying to have these really deep conversations with me about patriarchy and feminism and ethical porn. And I am in awe of folks who are bi and trilingual. So I hope you enjoy the chat. I also wanted to let you know that the very first Sex is a Social Skill group call is going to be on July 7th at 2:30 p.m. Pacific, 5:30 p.m. Eastern in the States. Of course, all the group calls are recorded. So if you want to join in these group calls, this call on the 7th is going to be all about feeling cherished. What does that feel like? How do you like to be cherished? How can we ask for more of what's cherishing in relationship? I think it's going to be a really juicy, fun chat where we kind of roll around in some of these big ideas. Future calls will be on different days at different times. The group will be voting. But if you want to participate, I will be there live on screen, and we will be having this fantastic chat. We will be doing this every other week. So it's just another way for all of us to level up and to practice and to ask scary questions together and to get support from like-minded folks. So I would love to see you there. You can get all of the details in the show notes, or if you pop over to sexgetsreal.com/EP168 for this episode, there is also a link right at the top of the page. So let's dive into this chat with Amarna. Amarna Miller is a 26-year-old porn actress, pro-sex activist, and writer from Spain. She has a YouTube channel that you should totally check out. Probably about 2/3 of the videos are in Spanish, but the ones that are in English, if you're English speaking, are fantastic. Definitely check out also Day in the Life of a Porn Actress videos that she's doing, where she talks about pornography, ecology, traveling, among other things. Her first book was published 2 years ago, and she's currently working on her second one. She's a faithful defender of feminism and polyamory. Amarna is graduated in fine arts and loves antiques, cats, and everything related to the 60s. She considers herself an adrenaline junkie, obsessed with being outside of her comfort zone, which you will definitely hear on this interview. She lives in her van and saves time to conquer the world. One other quick note. There are a few points towards the end of the interview, especially where our connection got a little bit garbly. So I did my best to clean it up, but you will hear a couple of small hiccups. So please forgive me for that. So here is my chat with Amarna, and hopefully I will see you on the group call that is on Friday, July 7th, and on future calls, because this is going to be ongoing forever, a chance for all of us to connect. And don't forget, Patreon supporters at $20 and above get free access to these calls. So here is Amarna. Welcome to Sex Gets Real, Amarna. I'm so excited to have you here.
Hello, Dawn. I'm more excited than you. I'm super happy that you counted on me for this.
Yes. So for listeners who aren't familiar with your work, I found you via Erica Lust because you've done a number of her ex confessions videos. And you've also worked with Four Chambers, which I have just like raved about to listeners as a place to go for beautiful erotic content. And I would love it if you could just tell us a little bit about how you got started as a performer.
Ooh, that's a big story. Okay. So I started in the business about almost 8 years now, which is a lot. I have always been a person with a very high libido. I always wanted to experiment with my sexuality and find new horizons inside of my sexuality. So when I was about 18 years old, more or less, I thought about sex work as a way of living. I sent a lot of messages to a ton of Spanish companies. I am from Spain, by the way. So a lot of companies from my country. And when I received the answers, I didn't like them at all. And I decided that porn wasn't for me. I started university. I did fine arts. And in the second year of my career, I discovered photography, which was, in the end, my specialization and one of the biggest passions of my life. So through photography, I started taking pictures of girls, my friends, basically. And because I had this crescent interest towards sexuality, the pictures were becoming more and more explicit, more and more erotic. And it reached a point in which when I was looking at that pictures, I was thinking that that was the kind of content that I wanted to appear in, but it didn't exist. I was looking for it 1 year before and I didn't find it. So maybe I felt that there was a niche in the market for me as an actress, but especially for the viewers who wanted to see something that was kind of different. Mm-hmm. So with this idea in mind, I created my own production company that I directed for about 5 years, 4 or 5 years. And through my company, I started posing also as a model, working as an actress. And yeah, that's how I started. After 1 year, more or less, shooting only for my company, Australian company contacted me, telling me that they wanted me to appear on their shoots. And when I checked their content, I really, really liked it. So I said yes. And since then, I worked as an actress. Some years later, I closed my company. And since then, I have been working full time as a porn actress.
Wow, I love that you kind of knew what you wanted, you were disappointed with what you saw, and after kind of giving yourself a chance to go into art and kind of develop your photography, you thought, well, I don't see this anywhere, so I'm just going to create it myself. That's amazing.
I have this kind of personality that is very proactive about things. My father used to tell me when I was younger that you don't work talking, you work working. And that's some kind of base, like some kind of pillar that I have tried to implement in every aspect of my life, also in my work. I mean, if what I do, if what I want to do doesn't exist, let's create it. Yeah. Sounds very easy, right?
I love that. And I love too how you have started partnering with people who are creating like beautiful, ethical content. And I know one of the things that got me so excited to have you on the show was I saw your ethical porn video that you created for your YouTube channel, which for anyone who's interested in learning more about you and the work you do, you've got this fantastic YouTube channel, which of course I'll link to on Sex Gets Real. But ethical porn is something that's really important to you. And I'd love to know kind of like, what do you want more people to know when it comes to ethical porn?
Wow, that's an amazing question. When people, I feel like during the last years, people talk a lot about feminist porn. And for me, before achieving feminist porn that is kind of becoming a marketing label, I really want to talk about ethical porn, because that's the first step to think about any kind of feminism inside of this industry that is majority, is like mainly very sexist. So when I talk about ethical porn, I like to give a definition that is not even mine. It's from a sexologist and educator from here, from North America, called Tristan Taormino. Mm-hmm. What she says is that in ethical porn, the performers feel valued. They are receiving an amount of money for their work that is in sense in related to like what they are doing on the screen. And they are in conditions that are fair and in which they feel valued. As you can see, nothing that I'm talking about has to be with what happens on the screen. It has to be with what happens behind of the screen, what happens behind the cameras. Because I think for talking about feminist porn, way before that, we need to think about the conditions in which we are shooting. And the reality is, porn industry, it's an industry that it's very demeaned. It has a huge stigma. It has a huge taboo. And people who are working in it are a lot of times not happy about the conditions in which they are shooting, we are shooting. So what I like to do a comparison with the fair trade label. In the food industry, when we buy something that has the fair trade label, that means that the people who has worked to create that product has been in very like in fair conditions. They have their work has been valued and they have earned an amount of money that they think it's fair. Mm-hmm. So if we take this same comparison and we bring it to the porn industry, ethical porn will be some kind of like fair trade label. It's to know that the people who have worked in that product, in that video, has been treated in equal fair conditions. Mm-hmm.
I do sex coaching and relationship coaching in addition to the podcast, and I have my business listed on the APAC website for adult performers. And so I just recently talked to a performer, a male performer who does mainstream porn, and he's feeling a lot of challenging feelings around what it's like to work in conditions that are often very unfair. And so I think it's so important, you're right, that we talk about like fair working conditions for people in any industry, but especially in porn, because it's something that's so vilified and because people like to say really nasty things about it. And so having these conversations is so important.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, you express it so well. Sometimes I feel complicated to express myself in English because it's not my language. So yeah, I absolutely agree with what you say. I think because the porn industry still has this huge stigma, people often don't realize that what we need is to be listened, not to be victimized. Mm-hmm. What we need is people to understand the in which we are working and the ways to improve them, instead of pointing at us with their hand and telling us that what we are doing is wrong.
Yeah.
We just need better conditions. We need like to be listened and to our speech to have wings, not to be, you know, put down, bring down.
Yeah. So I, of course, watched as many of the videos as I could on your channel that were in English. Because I wish I was bilingual, but I am, my brain doesn't work that way yet. So you have a video all about the cats that you've had in your life, which I love because I have cats too. And you also did this really charming video all about your backpack.
And, yes, that's true.
Yes. And there were so many things on your backpack that like I wanted to talk to you about. The first is, I've been to Iceland 3 times and I got married there, and I loved seeing that you went on an adventure to Iceland. So yay, Iceland.
Oh my God, that makes me so happy. Iceland has been one of the biggest and more like awesome trips I had ever done. It was a huge adventure. I have my backpack just in front of me when we are talking, and I am seeing like all the crazy patches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I loved how one of the themes on your backpack is really all about exploring and going on these adventures and like learning and reading and books that influenced you. And of course, feminism and how that's such an important part of your life. And I'd love to know, like, for you, what is important to you about feminism?
Oh, wow. That's such a good question. I think for hundreds of years, society has told us as women how we have to live our lives, how we have to connect with other people, how we need to have sex, how we need to confront our own bodies and our own image. For the first time in these hundreds of years, we are a privilege. We have the choice. We have the choice to question the world we live in. And the world we live in is a patriarchy in which men most of the times have a position of power, and in which men are usually oppressing women, not because they want to, but because there's a huge structure that teaches us to do that since we are very, very tiny. So after all this chaos that we have suffered for like so much time, we have the choice to confront it, and we have the choice to question why it happens and how can we, you know, how can we change it towards a better like society. So for me, porn has a lot to be with this, because porn for me is to be empowered over my own body, my own sexuality, and what I do with it. Since I am very young, people, society, my parents, my friends, everybody has told me the way I have to interact with the world in sexual terms. And for me, porn is a way to confront that that politically correct way of understanding my sexuality and show it to the world, to express that we as women also are sexual subjects. We are not objects. We also have feelings and we also want to do things. And I think it's like so important. I think it's a kind of activism in a way, to just show the world that we also desire and we also like sex, and that's something absolutely cool and fine. We don't need to be ashamed of being who we are.
Oh my gosh, there's so much about what you just said that I'm in love with. I just want to like roll around. I mean, I love using porn to express the power that you have over your own body and to explore your own sexuality. That's so huge. And I also love how for you, doing porn is an act of activism, of actually putting on display the female body in a place of power and desire and pleasure, and showing like, I have a right to be in this position, to be exploring my body and to be like sharing it with the world and saying like, we get to celebrate that our bodies indeed are pleasure.
It's a way, I see it as a way to conquer, I don't know how to pronounce that, conquer a space. Conquer, that's it, thank you. I see porn as a way to conquer a space that historically hasn't had a place for women, which is sexuality and pleasure, you know, until very few years ago. A woman who had pleasure during sex was someone who was broken, you know. It was forbidden to us. We only had sex for reproduction, for having kids. We had sex as a way of control. And that's awful. That's absolutely awful. For me, and, you know, it's kind of complicated because as I say this, I also understand that a big part of the porn industry and a big chunk of the movies I have participated in are pretty sexist. But I think it's, for me at least, or how I see it personally, the way of portraying just the fact to be showing my sex, and just the fact that to be like, you know, putting outside in the world the fact that I'm a sexual subject is empowering, even if the representation I do with it is not as good as I would like it to be. Am I? Gosh, yes. Talking in English.
No, you're making
talking
sense.
English is so complicated. I promise. I try.
No, hard. You're making beautiful sense. I think you're right. Like, we can have these complicated experiences and feelings about porn, of understanding that it has a very problematic history, that it's very male gaze driven, that it has problems with racism and representation. And we can also recognize that there is power in people claiming their sexuality and choosing to allow others to see it. We can talk about ethical porn and then feminist porn on top of that, and how there's ways to change these conversations. And if we can get more people consuming ethical porn and feminist porn, then we can start changing, you know, the industry in a much bigger way. So, like, you're so right. It's complicated, and there's lots of, like, big questions, but to still find your activism and kind of your art and your voice inside of that is incredible.
Oh my gosh, you expressed it so right. I totally agree with you. For me, as a feminist, I'm always in this dichotomy in which, of course, I want to represent on my videos, on my scenes, all the time, the principles I believe in, you know, the feminist principles. But being a mainstream performer, sometimes I confront situations that are not fair at all. And I confront situations that are pretty sexist. And I see scenes and I appear in scenes with which I don't agree with. And that's a pretty intense dichotomy inside of my own, you know, my own ideology, because sometimes I do things that I don't fully agree with in the concept. But I think just the fact that I am a mainstream performer inside of a pretty hegemonic industry, having this speech or like talking out loud about the things that must change is powerful and it's worth it. I believe that power must be confronted from power, and to question some practices that are hegemonic, you must be inside of the hegemonic. Mm-hmm. The periphery, it's interesting, of course. In the periphery, you can do a lot of things, but you don't have the same speaker. You don't reach the same amount of people. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very important. And I also miss this as a porn consumer too. I miss more figures, more women especially, instead of the mainstream porn industry complaining about the mainstream porn industry. So I try to be that person as much as I can.
Yes. Oh, I think that's so important. You're right. Like, there's so many different ways that we can make change happen. And for people listening, a lot of that change can happen with where people spend money. So if you spend money on ethically produced content, then we can make more ethically produced content. And for you as a performer to be inside of the system and actually speaking up and having conversations with other performers and saying, I don't completely agree with this, and still be in your power. I mean, that's radical.
I think that's, I don't know. I feel there's a position of power in that. Even if sometimes I have to appear in things that I don't agree fully with, the fact that I am there questioning them, it's like super important. Mm-hmm. I love feminist porn, but if I only shoot feminist porn, I will never question the mainstream pornography. Mm-hmm. I always say this. When I'm in Spain, I give a lot of talks about like feminism and ethical porn. And I always say that I prefer to give a talk to a group of super sexist men than to a group of feminists, because the ones I have to convince, the ones I want my speech to be heard, is to the sexist people, not the feminist ones. The feminists, I already know that they agree with me. So I already know that the people who are going to watch the feminist movie are going to agree with it. But to have a position of power inside of the not that feminist part of the industry, that's very interesting. That changes mentalities. That's the point of it, I guess.
Do you think that's one of the things that's so special about your YouTube channel, of like mainstream fans finding you there and then hearing you have these conversations in a really like personal way?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I actually, that's one of the things that I try to be very focused on, to bring my speech or my ideologies to the people that follow me for my super mainstream porn productions, the people who follow me in like super mainstream porn movies and suddenly reach, for example, my Twitter or my Instagram or my YouTube channel, and they realize that I am not that sexy nymphomaniac that they have on their heads, that I am actually a person and I actually have thoughts about what I'm doing, and there's a speech behind it. It's not only the pretty face and the super like sexy attitude. There's something behind.
Yeah, it was actually really interesting because I got very angry on your behalf on Twitter a couple of months ago when you posted your ethical porn video, and a guy on Twitter decided that he should tell you what he didn't like about your appearance. And I just was like, you don't get to tell her what to do with her body. But I think like that's part of the beauty of you sharing yourself on YouTube and just making it so personal of like confronting the fantasy versus the reality of being this like really empowered human being with all of these big ideas around like oppression and feminism, and kind of making people who consume mainstream porn have a little bit of that discomfort of just like, maybe I should ask some questions.
Absolutely. I love that word, discomfort. I love to make people a bit discomforted about my own work, because it's true. We, in pornography, we do something that it's pretty fucked up. When we watch a porn movie, we think that everything that we're watching is real. I mean, when I go to the cinema and I see Batman, I will never think that what is going on a screen is something that is happening for real. But the porn consumer does that all the time. And they think that the women and also men, but especially women portrayed on the screen, are really that way. I mean, they are always willing, always wanting sex, always desirable and sexy, and they don't understand that we have, you know, we go in our pajamas to buy something on the supermarket, and we have cats, and we have boyfriends and girlfriends, and we have a life. We are people, you know, which sounds pretty like obvious, but people don't think about that. They think about the sexy whore, the nymphomaniac. They don't think about the person who wakes up in the morning and has a shower and has some breakfast and has a normal, you know, normal life.
Yeah.
So I think it's very, very important for us as porn performers to create that sensation that we are also people. I mean, that sensation, no, that reality. I have a series on my YouTube channel that they are having like a bunch of visits, and that makes me happy. It's called A Day in the Life of a Porn Star.
Oh, they're so good.
Oh, thank you. Basically, it's me recording my life since I wake up until I go to sleep, the days I have shootings. And what I try to show to the viewer is that everything that happens in between a shoot is totally professional and totally normal. Like, this is a job as any other job. Just we have sex on the screen, but we have to go to our makeup in the mornings, and we take a Uber to go to the shoots, and the shoots are like, you know, they are planned, and we have a script, and not everybody is like wanting to have sex all the time. We are just performing because that's our job, to perform on the screen.
So I'm wondering, for you, like, you've had a chance to work with mainstream porn production companies, and then of course you've worked with ethical and feminist porn companies like Vex and Erica. And for you, like, what makes a shoot really great? Like, when you show up and the day unfolds and at the end of the day you think, wow, that was such a great day. Like, what for you makes a day on set great?
I think I really value when the director has engaged with me before the actual day of the shoot, like when they ask me what you would like to do, or for example asking the performers with who do they want to shoot with, like what people on your area attract you so we can book the two of you together if it's possible. For example, that kind of, you know, that kind of questions are always pretty welcome. And when I arrived to the shoot, I think to create a good chemistry with my partner or my partners, for me, the best days of shooting are the ones in which my partner or partners have worked on to engage with me, to create some kind of link. There's nothing that I hate most in a shoot than when the other person looks like they want to like go home, when they are like looking at the clock. Because that makes me feel not valued. That makes me feel like a total normal average job. And if I'm in porn, it's because I like it, not because I want to earn as much money in the minimum time as possible. So for me, that's the main part. Then the other person is engaged and wants to do what they are doing.
I think that's so important. And I also would guess that when everyone involved is there and feeling connected, that translates on the screen even more powerfully.
Absolutely, absolutely. When you are shooting with someone that is engaged with you, that's amazing. It's like you can see like the sparkles. You say that in English, mm-hmm. What's the name?
That spark.
Yes, like a spark, like you can see the connection. Mm-hmm. That's why, for example, you were mentioning Bex a couple of times. That's why I like so much to shoot with her. Like, she's one of my favorite porn performers ever. Because every time we are on the screen together, you can absolutely see how much we like each other and how much we want each other. And that creates a magical scene and also an amazing time for the both of us to be working together.
Okay, so I saw that you tweeted that in October, you're going to be speaking on a round table about sex and cannabis.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and that's a topic that I haven't covered very much on the show. And so I'd love to know, like, for you, what are some things you love talking about when it comes to sex and cannabis, or like myths, or kind of what do you want the world to kind of know about sex and cannabis?
That's a very good point because, you know, here in California, people are very open-minded about cannabis. But in my country, oh my gosh, it's crazy. Like, there are so many stereotypes and there's so much of a stigma. Cannabis is not fully legal, neither recreational or medical. So when me as a public character talks about, hey, cannabis can be a very nice way to do a lot of things. I mean, to have sex, but also to feel creative, also to beat anxiety. So all these things that here in California seem kind of logic and obvious, in Spain are still a battle, you know, a revolution. Mm-hmm. So what I try to do in my talks about sex and cannabis is to put on the table that if you consume in a responsible way, and if you are over 18 years old, and if you are a person who are happy to try new experiences, let's go for it. I mean, there's nothing utterly wrong in it apart from the society has told us to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, I had the founder of Good Clean Love on the show, and her company makes organic lubes and oils and things like that. And they've just recently come out with a cannabis infused lube. And she said they're doing studies on it and it's showing really, really wonderful benefits for people who have vaginismus or vaginal pain, and that it's helping to create relaxation and pain reduction. And so I think, like, even things like that are such a powerful thing for us to be exploring.
Exactly. To not be scared of trying new things, mm-hmm. and to be willing to experiment with our sexuality. I think that's the point number one about, fighting the taboo and fighting the stigma and also fighting your own fears. Because for how we have learned our lives, there's a huge stigma regarding our sexuality.
So I know that a big part of your belief system and one of the reasons why feminism is so important to you is kind of having this opportunity to explore your body and to explore your sexuality and to kind of ask big questions and push against limits and stereotypes. And I'm wondering, like, for you, is there anything that you haven't yet explored that you know you want to try at some point, or a fantasy that you've always been kind of curious about but haven't yet lived into?
I think in a sexual way, I am very happy with the amount of things I have explored. Mm-hmm. At the moment, I am more focused in exploring new ways to understand my emotional links. Mm-hmm. I have a polyamorous relationship and I am very, very happy about it. And I'm exploring more about how to create meaningful, healthy links with other people. And create, explore intimacy, explore love. It sounds so new age, but it's true.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I get so many questions from listeners who are interested in learning about polyamory, or maybe they're questioning whether it's something they want to try. And so I think a lot of people are opening themselves up to at least learning about it, even if they end up deciding it's not something for them. But there's definitely a lot of questions in the air right now around like love and what makes a healthy, connected relationship, even if we've got other types of relationships in our lives. So I think that's a really interesting thing.
Yeah, it has to be with what we were talking before about questioning what we have learned. Since we are young, society teaches that the only way to have a relationship is by having a monogamous one and only love and desire one person for the rest of your life. And, the time passes and people start questioning this statement because you can love more than one people and that doesn't make you broken and that doesn't make you a worse human being. So I think it's just a matter of questioning the things that we take for granted just because someone has taught us that that's the right way to do them.
Since you're in a poly situation now, like what's been the best part about that and what's been the most challenging part about that?
Definitely the most challenging has been to deconstruct my jealousy. I used to be a very jealous person. And at the same time, it was something that was making me very, very unhappy. I didn't like it. I didn't even want to be like that. But you know how these kind of feelings are. They come and they stay on your belly and it kind of burns. So you don't really know what to do to confront it. So for me, that has been my biggest battle, to confront my own insecurities and my own fears, because in the end, jealousy is exactly that, insecurities and fears. And the best thing has been to learn that love is something absolutely amazing. It's huge. It's bigger than all of us. And to explore it with more than one person at a time is just an incredible feeling. I feel very empowered and I feel very proud of myself. Also, the fact that you have to confront a lot of stigmas also in this area makes me feel very proud of taking this decision, because it's a way to question also what I have taken for granted during all my life.
I'm noticing a theme that you really enjoy questioning kind of the stories we've been told, and you like kind of saying like, is this true? And then poking at that. I love that kind of rebel in you of just like, I'm not sure everything we're being told is true, so I'm gonna try it on and see.
Absolutely, you said it. Absolutely. I'm a person that questions everything a lot. I think a lot about the things I do. I don't know. I feel that most people live their lives just by what happens to them without being proactive, looking for the things they want to do. And for me, all this speech, all my words, all these things that I say can be summarized into my hunger for freedom.
Over the next couple of months, do you have any projects or challenges that you're getting ready to do that you're really excited about?
Actually, yeah, I'm super excited with my YouTube channel. That's being like the thing that I'm focusing the most. I upload videos every Tuesday, which means every single week I upload a video, and that's a big task.
Yes, it is.
At the moment, well, I am a person very, very into ecology, sustainability, and, I try to reduce my footprint in this planet as much as I want. So the thing that I'm really into at the moment is to transition from being omnivorous to be vegan, basically. Mm-hmm. And I am recording all the experience for my YouTube channel so I can tell not only my ideas regarding the mother, but all eating meat, to suddenly not eating, not only not meat, but putting away all the things that create suffering for animals in my life. Wow, that's a big deal.
Yeah. And I have to just ask, so you did a 30-day challenge of not producing any trash. And
yes.
I'm wondering, like, what was kind of your number one takeaway from that? Because my husband and I were actually talking about that video, and we were like, oh my gosh, that must just take so much planning.
Yeah, wow, it was kind of crazy. I mean, at the moment, I am not as strict as then, but I am still doing a bunch of the things that I learned from that challenge. And for me, the most complicated thing was to learn about my consumer habits. A lot of times we are consuming plastic without even realizing that we are consuming plastic. A good example was bubble gums. Oh my gosh, I used to eat bubble gums almost every day. And when I suddenly started, it's a tiny thing, but it's like a good example, because when I started this challenge Thursday, I took a bubble gum, and just when I took it, I'm like, this is such a waste. It's so awful. I'm sorry, bubble gum companies.
Yeah, I think you're so right. Like buying locally, going to the farmer's market, also buying in bulk and just like bringing your own containers.
Yes.
That's so helpful.
Or for example, stop using like paper tissues. Since then I use fabric tissues, and it's such an awesome thing because you just clean them and that's it. You're not producing this amount of paper waste, especially when you are sick.
Yes, yes. You don't have that big pile of tissues next to you. Well, I'm wondering, I know you're talking about sex and cannabis in October, and do you have any other big talks coming up later this year that you're excited about?
Well, I'm going to give, I don't know how much of this can I say, but in August, I am going to go to Colombia, to Medellin, and also to Bogota, the two of the main cities in the country, to talk about feminism and to talk about ethical pornography. So that is going to be a big thing. It's like Ooh. Two very big talks. Yes. And then at the end of the year, about October and also November, I will be in Spain, in my country, giving talks about the same, especially feminism. Mm-hmm. So if any of you are in Colombia in August or in Spain in October, November, I will see you there because they are going to be very interesting.
So I have a quick question for you about that.
Uh-huh.
You know, I talk to lots of people who are mostly in like sex positive, sex worker circles. And I'm wondering for you, like, what's the response that you get from audiences when you're in countries like Spain or Colombia, who aren't part of the industry, and you start talking about feminism and porn? Like, what kind of a response do you usually get?
Wow. I have an amount of followers that really support my work and really support what I do, but I also have a lot of people that are against me. Mm. At the moment, for example, if you get into my Twitter page, there's been like a very big battle against me, because I said in an interview a couple of weeks ago that sometimes when you're a sex worker, you are not always feeling super sexy, and you don't always want to have sex. And sometimes the sex you have is mechanical, just because you have a bad morning or just because you had a discussion with your boyfriend, whatever. Like, sex is not always like an amazing thing, and that's fine because it's our jobs, and that's it. Well, so I say this, and half of my country are exploding at this moment, complaining about me, because people still don't see sex work as a normal work. They think that if you do this, you must enjoy it all the time. Yeah. But this is a requirement that no one asks for in other jobs. You know, when you are frying chicken wings in a McDonald's, no one is asking you that you really enjoy to fry fries. And when you are, you know, when you work painting the nails of other people, no one is asking you to really enjoy nail polish. Mm-hmm. So why we do this kind of, you know, statements with sex workers? It's because people still put like a moral value mm-hmm. inside of our jobs.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry that you're experiencing that. That's so frustrating.
I mean, I feel when you're a sex worker, you must learn to have a very good emotional intelligence, because you are going to confront a lot of issues and a lot of stigmas. For me, I always say this, the worst part of being a porn actress doesn't have to be with the porn industry. It has to be with how people treat me when I say I'm a porn actress.
Yeah.
My biggest problem with porn is society, it's not porn.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I know I had a conversation with Kitty Stryker about a year ago on the show, and she was talking about how like the hardest thing for her as a porn performer was always the way she got treated outside of porn and how difficult it can be to find a job because people don't want to hire former porn performers, and how that's kind of hypocritical of, you know, if you're against porn, then you should be eager to be hiring former porn performers. But that's not how it is, because we like to shame porn and sex in our society. And so instead, it's kind of mistreating performers and trying to pass these judgments on what kind of people they are, which is ridiculous. But, you know, we have so much work to do.
Absolutely. People like to treat us as victims because they still think that what we do is wrong from a moral point of view, that we shouldn't be selling our bodies when there's no body to sell. You know, we don't sell our bodies. We sell a service that we do with our bodies. But in their minds, we are doing something that they don't agree with, and therefore we should repent. We should feel bad about it. Who is going to enjoy to have sex for money? That's impossible. I'm sure you were raped. I'm sure you had a super complicated childhood, and that has made you take these decisions that are obviously wrong in your life. And all this judgment is full of a moral perception of what sexuality means. Mm-hmm. In the moment in which we understand that sexuality is just another way of interaction with another human being, and it can be cool and awesome, but it can also be pretty fucked up. Sex work is just another kind of work, and we should be respected.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you said that, and I'm so excited that you agreed to come on the show and share all of your amazing ideas and thoughts and stories. And I was wondering, for people who want to learn more and check out your YouTube channel, how can they stay in touch? How can they find you online?
Oh, that's awesome. So I am in every social media. I am in Instagram, in Twitter, also YouTube. That are the three ones that I use the most. My name is Amarna Miller, A-M-A-R-N-A, Miller, like Henry Miller. And that's the way you should look for me.
Well, I will link to, of course, all of your social media and to your website on sexgetsreal.com for this episode, so everyone can follow you and check out your awesome videos that you're posting. And of course, if anybody has any questions about today's episode, please do write in and share this episode liberally. Amarna, I want to thank you so much for coming on and being so passionate about everything that you're doing.
Thank you very much for bringing me here. And sorry, sometimes I feel that my English is not good enough to like have this kind of meaningful, deep conversations. So I am sorry if sometimes I am like, I feel frustrated about it.
Well, I thought your ideas and your feelings came across beautifully. So thank you for being so brave in speaking a language other than your native tongue. I could never do that. And your brain is amazing that you can. So thank you so much for being here. And to all of the listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you had a blast listening to our chat, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.